Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
So I was recently asked, why doesn't this church have crosses everywhere in it? Now, I didn't have a specific answer. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Lots of churches would have maybe a specific cross up there or throughout the building, whatever. We don't really have that. Don't have a specific reason, not against it. Just, you know, I didn't really have a great answer. But it's like, it is a beautiful tradition, but it's not necessarily necessary, I think, to put it there. And the way I kind of explained it was like, well, to me, I think it's way more important that we're a church that talks about the cross then decorates with the cross, okay? Again, nothing wrong with whether or not you have that, but I think talking about the cross and the message of Jesus, that's what's ultimately important. And so today, that is what we're doing. We're talking about the cross, because the cross is not a logo on a church website. It is not the bling around your neck. It is not those things. It is a symbol, and was a symbol, of death. Yay. Not only was it the most painful way a person could die, as set up by Roman execution, it was also public humiliation. It was the worst of the worst possible ways. And 2,000 years later, why is this the main symbol of the church? And today, I think it's because the invitation to Jesus is essentially this. If you want to really live, first you have to die. If you want to really live, first, you have to die. We're getting into it today. I've been all week. This is going to be good. I know it is, because I'm just, Jesus is going to do something good with this. You know, for some people, that might mean literally dying. We saw that. Charlie Kirk died, was murdered for, again, whatever you think about him isn't the point, but he was someone who preached the gospel and talked about biblical values, and he was murdered for it. He won't be the last. He wasn't the first. Every one of Jesus' original disciples were killed. I mean, one killed himself, and that's a whole story in itself. But everyone else, if you look at it, as they continued to speak the truth of Jesus, James was beheaded, Matthew was killed by the sword, Thomas by the spear, Peter was crucified upside down. The list goes on and on, and they all willingly died to proclaim Jesus. I hope and pray that I'd be willing to do the same. I don't want to have to go through those kind of things. But boy, I hope in my heart that it's like, I hope I could say the same thing. Now, we here, maybe in the West, it's not quite the same. We're not called necessarily to a physical death, but we are called to live crucified. And that's what I want to focus on today, living crucified, because I think that really is in the realm of self-denial. Okay, self-denial. Yay, here we go. This is going to be awesome. We live in a culture of self-fulfillment. Oh, come on, self-fulfillment, follow your heart, live your truth, do what feels right, love is love. Some of that sounds spiritual, even sounds Christian, but it's actually all just self-focus and self-gratification. This is how I'm wording it, I'm explaining it or whatever, live my truth, because this is actually about me. Self-fulfillment. This is the culture we live in. It's the culture that's always been prevalent in the world. But Jesus presents a different way of living, self-denial. Jesus is always countercultural, always goes against the flow, rubs against the grain. And his self-denial is denying desires, comfort, status, security, wherever they, not just for the sake of like, I should have nothing and I should love nothing. It's not that. It's saying I will deny anything that competes with my allegiance for Jesus. So if this comes up and this competes with Jesus, I lay that down. I want Jesus. And so that's what he's calling us to. To say yes to Jesus is to say no to 1,000 other things. Okay, so saying yes to Jesus isn't just check, done, easy. If you say yes to Jesus, you are saying no to 1,000 other things. That's what you've been called to, daily death to yourself. And Paul, we're gonna spend some time in the Word today. Paul was a pastor, a leader in the early days of the church. This guy got it, okay? Like, he got it, and what he shared with us came from a place of deep revelation. So Paul had this deep connection with Jesus, and had he talks about this, had great mysteries revealed to him. that hadn't been revealed yet, but it's like God gave him this download and was like, you got to share this. This is what it's all about. This is the purpose. He gets these deep mysteries revealed to him, and thousands of years later, we're still reading his Holy Spirit-given insights. They have value. He was a real guy with real struggles who had deep understanding of who Jesus is and what he'd done, and he wanted to pass that on so we could discover them too. So imagine being a pastor under Paul's leadership, right? He was a church planner. He sets up lots of churches all over, goes around, visits them, checks on them. You're one of the maybe the pastors at one of his churches he started. And so, you know, you might get up there and be like, all right, well, good morning, my dear fellow Philippians. I'm Pastor Drew, and I'm glad you're joining us today. I'm going to read some more from the third chapter of Paul's letter that he sent us just last week. Let's read some more. Let's find out what is he saying to us as a church. Oh, I'm excited. This is what he says. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus, of Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so I could obtain Christ, or so I could gain Christ and become one with him. Good words. Okay, I like this so far. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. Yes, Paul, I agree. That's good. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Amen. I want to know Christ, and I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Yes, I want to suffer with him. Sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Excuse me for a minute. Hey, Tom. Yeah, this is Drew from First Gospel Church in Philippi. Things going well for you guys over there in Galatia? Yeah, good. Okay, good to hear. Okay, well, I have a question for you. Pastor Paul, he's been encouraging us, and he said something kind of strange in his letter to us. He's talking about sharing in Jesus' death. And I'm wondering if you guys have heard anything similar. Oh, actually, yeah, that does sound similar. Let me see. Let me pull up the letter. I got it here, the letter he wrote to us, Galatians. Let's see, what does it say? Here we go. I'm going to send you a screenshot of it. Okay, this is what we got here. So you can take a look here. It says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, so it's not just us. He's sending you the same kind of stuff, and he's saying this to all the churches. Do you get what he means? Well, I think so. I mean, I think Paul is talking about his old identity is dead, and we can see two I's there, if you notice. One is dead. It is no longer I who live, and the second one is alive. I live in this earthly body. So there's two I's, and between those two I's, there's Christ living in me. Okay, so basically what I'm hearing you saying is like, we were once dead, but Christ lives in us, so essentially we're a new person. Yeah, that's what we're kind of getting here. That's what I think he's trying to say to us. And I think this happens by trusting in Jesus who loves you and me and gave yourself for you and me. Okay, well, that tracks with what he's been telling us. He's been talking to us about becoming righteous through faith in Christ. So, okay, I just wanted to double check. Thanks, Tom. Yeah, no problem, Drew. Talk to you later. Okay, so the pastors are all kind of trying to get on the same page here. What is Paul saying? He's discovered a shocking truth, and he's passing it on to every believer. A Christian is not a person who believes the teachings of the Bible. Big whoop. The devil believes the teachings of the Bible. He knows that stuff's real. A Christian is a person who has died with Christ. Their stony heart crushed, their pride slain, their self surrendered. When we turned away from Jesus to our own selfish desires and pursuits, and we've all done it, we forfeited our right to life because he is the giver of life, and so the cost of our sin was actually death. But in God's infinite and mysterious grace and mercy, he made a way for us to die and live. Jesus paid the price required for us by taking our punishment on the cross and making a way for us to have eternal full life. And when I recognize what he did, that he was crucified for me, I can come before the cross and my old self dies as I lay down all the things in me. It's just like, Jesus, you are so real. You are so true. I am laying down my old self, because self-reliance and self-confidence cannot live at the foot of the cross. If that is in me, my self-reliance, my self-confidence, if I come before the cross, if I am genuinely coming before the creator of all things and the one who forgives me, those things can't mesh. So I am forced to lay them down and let those things die so that Jesus can bring forth something new. When Christ died, I died with him. By his resurrection power, he now lives in me. So this is not some like actual, everybody kill yourself today, we got Kool-Aid for you in the lobby on your way out. That's not what this is. I know it might sound cultish. It is not. But Jesus, like Pastor Monica said even earlier, it's like the things Jesus said didn't make sense in surface level stuff. But there is deep truth in what he's saying. I am a new creation and I live a crucified life. My old self has been crucified with Christ. Your old self, if you have put your faith in Jesus, has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer you who live, but Christ in you. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And now some of us, yes, we get this, and not on some surface level, like I think I understand. I'm talking like in here, in the core of who we are. It's like I embrace this, I understand this. For others, this might seem way too hard. And let's look at Luke 18. Once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother." And the man replied, "Nice. I've obeyed all of these commandments since I was young." Okay. When Jesus heard his answer, he said, "There's still one thing you haven't done." You know, probably perks his ears up. Oh, where's this going to go? Okay, I bet you I have. "Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. Jesus knew exactly where to focus on him. The problem wasn't that the young man doesn't believe in Jesus, it's that he's not willing to pay the price to be a true disciple. The rich young ruler, when presented with the truth of what it would cost to follow Jesus, walks away. And if you notice something, Jesus lets him. Jesus lets him walk away. I wonder if you see Jesus as a desperate boyfriend who you're like, maybe I'll give my time to you, whatever, but oh, I don't know, Jesus. I don't like how you said that, God. I don't like this scripture. I don't like whatever. I'm going to walk away. And Jesus is like, no, wait. I'm sorry. No, please don't leave me. I need you. I love you. I would do anything for you. I'll change. I'll word it different. I'm so sorry. Please come back. I need you. I love you. I would die for you. No, but I mean, he would, but we see this as some kind of like, Jesus needs, he's obsessed with me. He's so upset. Yes, Jesus loves you, of course. I'm not downplaying that, but I think it's important to realize Jesus is not a desperate boyfriend writing you love songs on his guitar, standing outside your window. Jesus is king. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. Jesus is like, I don't know, man, maybe you'll appreciate this. Jesus is freaking Braveheart. Okay, he's like the William Wallace who like comes up with that sword and it's like, let's go. And every guy goes, I would die for that. I would follow that. I would live for him. Jesus is king. Yes, he loves you. He wants your heart and your life, but he will not take or demand it. He lets us choose. He lets us choose. And all of us have obstacles like that rich young ruler between what Jesus is asking and what we're willing to do and willing to give up. It might be money or sex or reputation or identity or ideology, whatever that thing that you're just like, there's this one thing, Jesus, I don't know if I can give you this. My wallet, my belief about this certain thing, this relationship, whatever it is. But we have to ask ourselves, do I simply believe in Jesus or am I actually willing to take up the cross? Luke 14. A large crowd was following Jesus. So he's walking along and, you know, maybe he turns and he's like, golly, look at the size of this crowd today. Okay, so he sees a large crowd. He turns to them and he says to them, if you want to be my disciple, and everyone's like, oh, yes, that's why we're here. We're following you. Have you heard the buzz about Jesus? Many have been following a long time already, but there might be many that are just like, what's everybody else doing? You know, I want to find out what's going on. This guy sounds kind of interesting. He's mixing it up. Anti-authority, I don't know, whatever their thing is. They're there for a reason. But he goes, okay, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father, your mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. Now, that might sting for us and be like, Jesus, what are you saying? Think about it if you were first century Israelite. Family is literally everything. Like, they were so family ingrained, and that was so essential. And so Jesus, what on earth? What he's saying is, as much as you love these people, your love for me, your devotion for me should be so massively more that it's almost as if you hate them. He's not saying actually hate those people. He's saying that it should be so startling different. Your commitment, your dedication to me should be so far above that it's almost as if you hate them. And if you can't be that devoted to me, this isn't going to work out. Oh, Jesus. And he keeps saying, he says, and if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, which again would have very potent imagery. They knew the cross and what it meant. The humiliation, the shame, the all of that. If you can't carry your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Oh, Jesus, I thought you wanted everyone to follow you, whatever. Like, can't we all just get along and come along? There are rules. There are things here. If you can't do this, it's not going to work out. Notice how, I think this is kind of funny, but notice how when the crowd gets large, okay, so it was a large crowd following him. When the crowd gets large, when Jesus gets popular and trending, he would say something really unpopular just to thin out the crowd. Right? Like the ones who are already like all in, they're like, oh, that's a hard one, but I already know you're the way. I'm with you. Other people are like, this is going to be, what did he say? Peace. I'm out. It's like, nope, I don't. That could get out that someone's like, oh, you believe what he said about that? I can't be associated with that. I'm out. I think he does that on purpose. Not like Jesus wants people to come to him, but it's like his model of church growth. It's like the hype is growing. People are jumping on the bandwagon. Do they have the right motives? Well, it's time to say something people don't like. I'm going to give them an uncomfortable truth so that I can make sure I'm keeping it real and that they're genuinely following me. I'm not going to make this easy. I just think, for example, I'll use the Charlie Kirk example again. There were large gatherings that happened after Charlie Kirk died. And I believe many were authentic Jesus followers that were just like, we need to pray. Like, I think there was so much beauty in that. But I'm also sure there were Christians who were like, oh, is it safe to come out of hiding right now? Like, ooh, is it like a cool thing to be a Christian right now in this moment? I'm there. Yeah, I'm here with the group. Let's go. I don't even know exactly what's going on, but I'm a part of this. And I wonder, it's still great that they came, but I wonder, are they in church today? Are they opening their Bible? Are they following Jesus? Was that just a trend thing, or was this real life change? Jesus wants the real thing. And I just think from the very beginning, Jesus intentionally weeds out followers from passengers. He's like, I'm doing something important. I need people that are all in. I love you. I want you with me. But this is not going to be easy. So you got to know. And in our current fatherless culture, which is hyper-focused on things like empathy and kindness and how we word things, Jesus brings dad vibes, you guys. Like, as a dad, I get it. I sit down with my kids and it's like, look, I love you. But we got to talk about something. You need to know how the world really works. You need to know what's really going on. I see this new whatever. And it's uncomfortable. And it's straight. But that's what dads are supposed to do. Out of love. And in a culture that is trying to be fatherless, we're like, don't talk to me like that, Jesus. And Jesus is like, you need this. This is my love for you. I'm caring for you. And like a dad, Jesus even lays it out in practical terms. Luke 14, again, he goes on. So right after he says, if you don't carry your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. And he says, but don't begin until you count the cost. So even if some people were like, oh, okay, that sounds hard, but I'll do it. And he goes, wait. I love your interest and whatever, but you need to practically count the cost here. And so he says, for who would begin construction on a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? This is practical. There's many construction people in here. You're like, yeah, that's important. Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he'll send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy's still far away. So he's talking, count the cost. So you cannot, he says this again. He does invite us, come be my disciple, come follow me. But he also says you can't become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Without laying it down at the foot of the cross. You can't just tag along. You're not a genuine disciple and follower then. Man, I love the boldness and confidence of Jesus, where he's just like, what I'm telling you is so true, it's so important, I'm not sugarcoating this one bit. I am raw, I am honest, there's no sales pitch here. Here's what it costs to follow me. Everything. You're going to know pretty quick who's really in. I actually think this is why I'm seeing so many men, even in this church right now, really rise up and just like, yes, like I'm taking responsibility for my family, for myself, for my faith. Side note, I always love roaming the back during worship. Sometimes I'm praying for you. And I looked and I would say 90% of the hands I saw in the air were men. Thank you, men. Thank you for leading the way. In worship, surrender to God. Here I am. God, you're the commander. You're the one I'm following. I will lead by example. I believe. I'm laying it all out. I'm not doing this by my own strength. And they need that. They need that William Wallace brave heart to follow. That's the God you're following. I also think this is why we're seeing a huge surge in Gen Z following Jesus right now in North America. It is statistical. You can see all of this. They're tracking this. It's crazy. And I think it's because this young generation, they can't trust anything they see online, and they just want genuine truth. So they are coming to church and being like, do you have the truth for us? And hopefully they're going to a church that is saying the truth, not trying to tweak it and be like, yeah, Jesus is your desperate boyfriend or whatever. Like not changing it to accommodate, but just being straightforward. And they're going, yes, thank you. I needed to hear truth. And there is nothing more true and authentic than Jesus. Follow me. It'll cost you, but it's going to change everything. But it's the best decision you could ever make. Man, to say yes to Jesus really is saying no to 1,000 different things. And that's why here at City Life, we ditch that catchphrase, making it easy to say yes to Jesus. We had good intentions with that. But I think really, I don't think that was well worded. And we all know that. It's because we realize it's not easy to say yes to Jesus. To say yes to Jesus costs you everything. We'd be better off saying, making it hard to say yes to Jesus, because then we'll know if you're really in. That is our goal. We want genuine followers. We're not called to make church attenders and seat warmers. If you're here and you're just like, cool, I just like being, like, that's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to fill this room. It is awesome that there are so many of you here today and so many watching online. But that is not, we are not interested in just filling a place. We are called to make disciples. We are called to build disciples that live crucified. And we do you a disservice to downplay what it takes to follow Jesus. Jesus wants us to make a choice, obviously preferring life with him. He wants us to choose him. But he does say in Revelation 3:16, since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Jesus, what are you saying? Jesus is honest, out of love. I want you to be hot, all in, let's go. Or just say no to me. But don't do this wishy-washy middle thing. It's not helping me. It's not helping you. You're going to think you're actually following me and you're not. You're going to think you're going to make it to heaven and live a life with me. And you're going to find out the hard way that you didn't even know me and I didn't know you. Oh, man, no way. And I know the things I'm saying aren't necessarily fun or fluffy and feel good. And I'm curious how many of you might not be here next week. Not because we don't want you to be, but I think it's important to be really straightforward. Some of you here, you're brand new. Maybe I met some of you that were first-timers today, and you're here, and you were invited by friends or family. You're opening up. You're discovering. You're trying to still figure out, who is this Jesus? Stay. Stay, discover, make a choice. Some of you, the gospel has been laid out before you for weeks, months, maybe years. And Jesus stretches out his hand and offers this. And you look at his hand and you go, nah, I'm good. I'm just going to hang out. I like the people here. If that's you, I don't know if this is the place for you. Because we're doing something important and we're on mission and we are going somewhere. And I don't think that's going to work out the way you want. Again, I'm not saying, hey, don't come back. I'm just saying we take this seriously. We're a family of believers with a mission of daily taking up our cross. I am picking up my cross. I am carrying my cross every day as I have been asked to do, to follow Jesus. I want to climb the ladder of success, but Jesus, you want me to prioritize family. I want to sleep with my girlfriend, but you ask me to lay that to the side and trust you and trust your timing and marriage. I really want that cookie. But Jesus is asking me to choose health, and oh, that hurts to pick up the cross and follow him. It's the little things, you guys. It's the little things every day that we got to choose. I like that you all clap for cookies. Okay. It's a daily choice to die 1,000 deaths that will always be a frustrating tension. It will be. Do you know why? Because if I'm honest, I want character, but I don't want suffering. I want humility, but I don't want humiliation. I want patience, but I don't want to wait. I want to hear God's voice, but I don't want to get up early and pray and seek him. I want the benefits of Jesus, but I don't want to take up the cross of Jesus. But for those of us who are all in, you already know this. It's still that uncomfortable, oh, this is hard to do, and I don't always get it right. But like Peter, he says, where else would we go, Lord? This is hard, but where else would we go? We know you're the real thing. And we know this is what it takes to follow Jesus. So we'll just stumble forward daily. And we're not going to get it all right. You know, out of 1,000 deaths, we might only nail 40 of them in the day, whatever. But I'm following you. Recently, I was able to have an opportunity to lead a man to Jesus, and it was so beautiful, so powerful. But it was really interesting because we were having this conversation, and as I was presenting the gospel to him, he's like, oh yeah, but what about this? And he starts asking these million questions, and what about the history of this? And he goes off and off and off and off and off. And I was like, maybe I could have an answer to all this, but I actually just interrupted him. I was like, can I ask you a question? Oh, sure. You're holding all these things. You have all these questions, concerns, whatever. You're holding all these things. What would you do if Jesus came down the stairs right now and walked up to you in person and said, follow me? And the guy literally, I want to get this right. What did he say? He literally says, he just tosses it all. He's like, I would just throw everything aside and I'd be like, let's go, Jesus. That was his response. Someone who didn't yet say yes to Jesus. He's like, if he was here right now, let's go, Jesus. I don't care. That is how we need to live. Can we lay everything down? Can you crucify your questions? Can you crucify your understanding, believing that God's got you through all of this? You were invited to lay that all down at the foot of the cross. Oh, boy. Romans 6, 5 to 8, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also live new lives. Baptism is a huge part of this. If you haven't been baptized, get baptized. I would like to say, if you were baptized as a baby, that's different. I actually am shocked how many people are like, well, I have been baptized. No, you were dedicated as a child. They just use the term baptism. Baptism is a personal decision to go all in with Jesus, get baptized. Since we've been united with him in death, we'll also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. This is where we're getting to, guys. So I gotta die. What happens when I do that? I'm dead. Now what? Well, this is what happens. We're no longer slaves to sin. When we died with Christ, we're set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we'll also live with him. So you also should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. I asked my friend Greg, who had been baptized, I said, what changed for you after baptism? He said, baptism clears the path for you to be more convicted. I was like, oh, that's really good. Like, it's like it cleaned me out. It didn't just clean me from my sins. It's like God transformed me, so now I'm more easily convicted. And because things hit me harder, I sin less because I'm more convicted by it. I have this clear connection. And this is what Jesus is doing in our lives. He's changing our desires and growing fruit. Galatians 5. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. This is what you'll see if you live crucified. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. The crucified life will produce good fruit. Because the cross isn't just how we're saved. That's the first step. It's not just how we're saved, it's how we live. This is how we live. Jesus set the example for us. 1 Peter, oh, I'm wrapping this up. 1 Peter 2, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example. I want to be like Jesus. Are you sure? That's a big one. You must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Jesus is our ultimate example. We must lay it before Jesus so that we can live crucified like him and through him. And you're not alone. For 2,000 years, people have been doing this. Placing their lives at the foot of the cross, laying down everything about themselves, their old self, so they could be crucified and following Jesus. Hebrews 12, therefore, since we're surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith for thousands of years, even right now, right here, surrounded by this, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And you know what that is. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. How do we do this? We do it by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy, I love this, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. The joy of knowing you might come into the family. The joy of knowing you might find freedom from that thing you've struggled with your whole life through him. For the joy of that, he endured the cross and disregarded the shame. And so I just keep thinking. I keep thinking of the man in the basement. Just tossing the questions to the side. Let's go, Jesus. Let's go, Jesus. If Jesus walked into this room and he stood right in front of you, would you drop it all and embrace him? Or would you walk away because it costs too much? You do have to make that decision. It's an important one. Can we stand up? I have some questions I want you to consider as we wrap up. Jesus, is there something preventing me from being an all-in disciple? This is your moment right now to actually internalize. And if you don't do that, do it. This is where he does the healing work in you, is when you go, I'm actually going to take a look at what's in there. I don't want to see, but I'm going to. Is there something preventing me from being able to be an all-in disciple? Is there something in my life that has to die in order for me to live? What do you need me to crucify? Just close your eyes for a minute. I'm gonna let you sit in this. Some of you, it's like, yes, let's go. I wanna do the inventory. Some of you are like, I don't wanna do this. I don't wanna do this. God wants to bring freedom to you if you would just be willing to take a moment. What in me needs to die? What do I need to lay at the foot of the cross? It might be one big thing, or it might be those thousand little things. Oh, the resentment I have towards my wife, or the way I talk to my kids, or the things I do at work, or whatever it is, the attitude I have. It starts by acknowledging. You can't lay something down at the cross unless you know what you're laying down. Spirit, we step into the discomfort of looking inside ourselves. But Jesus, you already know everything that's in there, and you still offer your hand and say, I know your thoughts. I know what you've done. I know. I'm not surprised by any of it. I still want you to come with me. Will you follow me? Would you lay down your life? I got something bigger and better for you. And if that's you, I want to invite you to do that today, to literally lay it at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, today is the day I step into relationship with you. Not just relationship. You're not just my buddy. You're not just someone I kind of tag along after. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my King, and I will give up everything to do that because you're worth it. Oh, the joy of following Jesus. If that's you, I want to invite you to just pray with me and just say, Jesus, thank you for coming to ransom, restore, recreate, and reinstate me. I receive all of the work and triumph in your cross. I take my place in the cross today, dying with you to sin and the self-life, to Satan, to the world and its corruptions. I bring the cross, the blood, and the sacrifice of Jesus over my life today, and I receive cleansing. I want you to say that part again. Say, I receive cleansing. You have to be willing to receive it right now. You have to be willing to receive it. It's not just throwing down the bad things and acknowledging them. Let Jesus wash that away, make you clean. Let's finish with this. Say, Jesus, I sincerely receive you as my life. I receive all of the triumph in your resurrection, and I enter your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us be crucified with Christ every day.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.